Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Friday. A great show ahead of us today. Congressman Josh Brkeen, right in the middle of all of these very important battles over spending, national security, Ukraine aid, Israel aid, he's going to join us from the great state of Oklahoma to open the show today. He's got a lot to say about the future of the Mike Johnson speakership in the House, as well as some of the agenda items that Republicans are coalescing around very quickly. There is, after a few weeks of acrimony and uncertainty about who the next speaker is, there is suddenly a lot of unanimity, a lot of speed, a lot of acceleration on what House Republicans want to get done between now and the end of the year. That includes the 12 spending bills. A lot of those aren't done yet, although the ones that are approved count for 70% of discretionary spending right now. Josh Brkeen is going to lay out for us in pretty clear detail where the Republican caucus is going to go, where the House Republicans want to go, and why the next few weeks are going to be so important, eventful, and potentially historic as Republicans try to do something that hasn't been done by any prior Congress in the last 3 decades. Reduce spending. That's right. Reduce spending. Not keep it steady, not grow it a little. Reducing it. That's the mission. And that process also is going to involve breaking out war spending for Ukraine, Israel, the border into separate budget votes. And I think you're going to see a lot of that in the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to play a really great interview we did last night with Kevin Brock, the former intelligence chief of the FBI, former assistant director for intelligence at the FBI, real honest broker in the law enforcement world. He has some very profound things to tell us all about what he thinks his old agency and its supervisory department, the Justice Department, are up to when it comes to Hunter Biden. He reacted very strongly when Amanda and I were talking to him last night about the new revelations from the former U.S. Attorney Brady in Pittsburgh about the FBI and Justice Department not wanting to investigate Hunter Biden, and also the revelations from the whistleblowers that every time they brought something to the FBI, they were turned down for a lead. Actually, I shouldn't say FBI, but really the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office. Both Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office and FBI were singled out by the former U.S. Attorney Brady about obstructing his efforts to refer information for further investigation, including the very credible evidence that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were potentially participants in a $10 million bribery scheme. That's in the FD 1023 form that we all have. That's going to be a fun conversation. I also want you to pay close attention because we talked to Kevin Brock about what's been happening at the border, the sudden surge of military age men coming from what are known as special interest countries or special interest aliens, they're called. Why are that? They're coming from companies and they're coming in manners that mimic what terrorists and other people with ill intent come to the United States through. But there's no red flag in the database about them, no background that suggests they're a terrorist. The number of people that fit that very special interest alien category exploding at the border the last few weeks. Kevin Brock doesn't think that is an accident. In fact, he has a very strong theory, and he also has a very strong warning about the potential for Hamas-like attacks here in the United States. You're going to want to tune in for that. A very important conversation with one of the most trusted men in law. You know, I know there's a lot of doubt about the FBI and the Justice Department and the IRS, but there are also many good people still on the front lines of these agencies, and they're doing a great job. And I think all of those need to be reminded, and they need to be listened to. Those that are trying to do their job honestly, to apply the law equally, to keep law and order in a country that was built as a bedrock, the law and order society that we've had. There is a lot of important news going on today. I want to just highlight three of them before we go to the break and bring in Congressman Josh Brkeen. First off, just a few short weeks after Joe Biden finished his Bidenomics tour saying, I made America better with Bidenomics, we've had two devastating reports come from his own federal departments, his own agencies. First, 3 weeks ago, the Census Bureau reported that one of the largest rises in American history of poverty occurred on Joe Biden's watch in the last year. Poverty went up by an enormous amount. In fact, the largest rise in poverty in over a half century. That occurred as a result of Joe Biden, because of the inflationary pressures, the rising interest rates, pushing people to not be able to afford just the basics of life. That was the first warning sign about Bidenomics that directly contradict the victory tour that Joe Biden and his allies made around the country recently. The second one came last night when the U.S. Agriculture Department, USDA, put out a report saying a record whopping 10 million people fell into food insecurity last year, meaning 10 million people were going hungry, who weren't going hungry before Joe Biden became president. These are some devastating numbers, and they're really a sign that the Bidenomics argument that Joe Biden's been trying to make as he prepares for 2024 reelection, well, it has boomeranged on him. It has actually become a political liability. When you're hungry, when you're impoverished, you're not going to believe that the economy is going well. And that's what millions of new Americans have as their new experience under Joe Biden. Go check that story out. It's one I wrote myself. I think it'll be meaningful to you. Another story that's very important. We continue to dig into censorship. And my good friend Greg Piper uncovered a really remarkable set of emails that were released under FOIA that show that the Homeland Security Department and its CISA truth watchers, if you can call them that, because they oftentimes were the misnomers of truth, they coalesced around Russia and QAnon to try to dismiss the Hunter Biden laptop. Remember, the Hunter Biden laptop was already real. The FBI had long before October 2020 concluded that the laptop was authentic, that it wasn't tinkered with by foreign powers. And here is Homeland Security, without any basis, trying to dismiss the laptop as Russian disinformation or QAnon, even as very similar to the very false efforts of 51 intelligence agents. I think it's worth taking a look at how very important those pieces of information are. And I think if you read Greg Piper's story, you get a sense that this disinformation society that has been built on the backs of federal agencies and in nonprofits funded by federal agencies, they're wrong. They're the disinformation. This the Hunter Biden laptop was never QAnon, was never Russia disinformation. It was an authentic piece of evidence already authenticated by the FBI. Go check out Greg Piper's story. It's a really good one. And then finally, we take a look at something that gets overlooked. A lot of attention has been put on Hunter Biden's relationship with China, CEFC China, the earlier Bohai Harvest of deals, which landed Hunter Biden millions of dollars. One of the people that he engaged with is a guy named Patrick Ho. He was a CEFC official. So CEFC gave some money to Hunter Biden. But Patrick Ho also was indicted for bribery. He was convicted for bribery. But one of the things that got overlooked in that case, because it was in court motions, but not a big part of the case, was that the government, the United States government, believed that the very time Patrick Ho was working with Hunter Biden at CEFC, at the very time Hunter Biden was being paid $1 million to be Patrick Ho's lawyer, that Patrick Ho was involved in a scheme to evade Iran sanctions, to help Iran evade the U.S. sanctions imposed on them for their nuclear program and terrorism activities. The fact that Hunter Biden was in bed with a Chinese figure who the United States government believed was helping Iran evade sanctions is so important, particularly in light of what's going on with the Hamas-Israel war. Check out that story from my good colleague, Stephen Richards. We're very excited about that. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Congressman Josh Brkeen up first on the Friday edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. With all of the activity going on in Israel, the precursor to what is going to be a ground invasion, there was quite a bit of activity today softening up the Gaza before Israeli soldiers go in. I thought I would bring in one of the most sage voices in all of Congress when it comes to national security and common sense. He represents Oklahoma in the United States House. He is Congressman Josh Brkeen, and we're great to have him back on the show. Sir, great to have you back on.
Thanks, John. Honored.
You do such great work. One of the places where you have been front and center leading is making sure that the Biden administration isn't tempted to bring in Palestinian refugees during this Gaza war. Tell us why you're leading that and the security concerns that underlie this request.
Yeah. So let me start off by saying that there's a Washington Institute that has done a polling, and it shows that among the Gaza population, that 57% of them have a favorable opinion of Hamas. The murderous activities, anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 Israelis now dead as a result of what happened October 7th by Hamas. And 32 of those were Americans. We have 11 Americans that are part of the 200 hostages. And to think that we are going to utilize the same lack of process that we saw with Afghanistan under a Democrat administration, where even their own investigative general said that it was lacking in really vetting these people coming from Afghanistan. It is incredible to me to think that we would potentially parole into the interior of the United States those that by strong majority support Hamas. And let me just say this, there's a real threat, John. It already, this played out in the interior of the United States. You have John Bolton, national security advisor, former national security advisor. You have Mike Pompeo, former secretary of state, that Iran, so we all know that Hamas is an extension, a proxy of Iran. We know that both of those individuals, Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, that there was a plot backed by Iran to take them out, to kill them. And that was recently uncovered. We also know that there was a plot to assassinate former President George W. Bush by ISIS, specific to getting people flowing through the southern border. And the FBI uncovered that. There's over 600 people that are on the special interest alien list, 600 people that have come across our southern border from Iran. And that is out of a sum total of 70,000 that have come across the southern border on a special interest list from all over the world, representing over 150 different countries. So when you hear people talk about the 250 that are on the terrorist watch list that have come across under the Biden administration, you don't hear the 600 number of those specific to Iran that are on the special interest list. Before our committee yesterday, Homeland Security Committee, we had a lady, former journalist in Iran in the last couple of years, in New York. She fled as a journalist from Iran. She had an assassination attempt on her life. A guy showed up on her front doorstep with an AK-47, tried to kill her. And then another attempt, they tried to kidnap her, put her on a cargo ship bound for Iran. She had a colleague from Iran a journalist colleague that also fled Iran that was in France. They were able to grab him, took him back to Iran and execute him. And we have to understand the threat of Iran trying to gain access to the interior of the United States to kill Americans. Iran is responsible for over 130 deaths since 1990, specific to American citizens. They call us the Great Satan for a reason, because they hate us.
That's right. They call Israel the little devil, but we're considered the Great Satan. We're really the larger abject of Iran and its proxies. And that the statistics you just put out are so amazing. This hearing yesterday was so important, because I think a lot of people don't realize that what we're in is a proxy war, that when Hamas and Hezbollah are launching rockets at our folks or at Israel, they're really just doing the bidding of Iran. What do you think Iran's intentions are over the next 6 months? How do they play this next escalation of violence in the Middle East? Because Israel is going to go in and make sure Hamas is eradicated.
Look, Iran knows they can't take the United States on full frontal. But what they're trying to do is, and specific to Homeland Security, is they are going to try to inspire and ignite enthusiasm around doing heinous acts, so whether it's our water infrastructure, whether it's our electric grid, whether it's going after families of elected leaders, bureaucrats. You know, I think every elected official better pay attention for blackmail. And I think, you know, for anyone who has any doubt that you have the president's son playing out in the news, that foreign interests can absolutely grab hold of your family and utilize your family and make you do things that in a controlling position of a country. So we have to be very vigilant and understand there are people who are working to compromise the United States from the interior.
Yeah, that is such an important message. And it was delivered, I think, really compellingly yesterday at this hearing. This was such an important hearing. I want to stay here for just one more minute, because you mentioned Hunter Biden, and most of the connections that we know about Hunter Biden are China and Russia and Ukraine and Romania and Kazakhstan, all bad. But there was a case involving a man named Patrick Ho. He was one of the Chinese business partners of Hunter Biden on a deal that at least some people envision Joe Biden might even enter. Patrick Ho gets indicted. He's convicted for illegal lobbying and influence. But one of the court documents show that one of the things they were concerned about Patrick Ho is that he was using his resources in China to try to help Iran evade the sanctions. We're going to have a whole detail on this tomorrow. We're going to put all the records out for the American people to see. But China, already a bad actor. We know Hunter Biden's deep into China with all the things. But the idea that his business partner might also have been trying to help evade U.S. sanctions on Iran, another one of those concern in that big tree that Republicans are building about Hunter Biden, isn't it?
Yeah. No, look, I mean, Iran is gaining wealth. They have, I think that the numbers in the last couple of years, just their assets and foreign currency holdings have tenfold increased because of their ability, due to changes in sanctions. The Trump administration imposed heavy sanctions. Those have been majorly changed under the Biden administration, majorly in terms of giving them the ability to financially gain access and into markets and gain oil export opportunities. And so what has that done? That's given freed up funds. It's created funds that are being utilized to bring terror in the Middle East.
Yeah, that's so important. I want to switch to the other big news, because the hearing was clearly one of the big news events of the last 24 hours. But the election of a speaker, Mike Johnson, someone I know well, I know you know well and have been a big friend and fan of. He's a man that has a lot of humility on the outside, but a lot of tenacity on the inside. Very principled.
I love that. I love what you said that. Yes, I love how you said that, John. Absolutely.
He's really a unique character. I think he's going to find an extraordinary moment in history to lead. What do you think are the big opportunities in the next few weeks for Republicans to start scoring wins and getting back to the people's business?
In terms of what I hope that occurs, is my great hope is the 12 appropriation bills, and then we can have the strongest negotiation position with Senate Democrats, that the American people will actually have a house that really means what it says when it says we believe we've got to cut spending to give our country a chance, a country that is overspending by $2 trillion every year right now. In 1980, that was $1 trillion was the size of 200 years of debt accumulation. That was our gross national debt was $1 trillion in 1980. And every year, we're overspending by $2 trillion. We are on such an unsustainable path. And my great hope is, I am a fan of Mike Johnson. He's going to need great people around him to inspire him. He's going to have to have people that, from congressional district by congressional district, that are supporting the concept of returning to right principles, limited government. We've got to get a handle on our spending.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
John, I've got to slip off here and go vote on the floor right now.
Completely understand, sir. It is a great honor to have you on. We got a good update. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, man. I'm within about 20 feet of having to walk on the floor and vote. They won't allow us.
We are so grateful that you spent that time with us. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, folks, more interviews ahead right after these commercial messages. Up next, Kevin Brock, the former intel chief for the FBI, with a stark warning about the border and what may be really going on, and also a very stark assessment of the FBI and Justice Department's willingness to investigate Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and the Biden allegations. This is an FBI man that's going to put some pretty big thoughts out there right after these messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back, everybody. Last night, just as we came to air, John broke three major news stories over on justthenews.com. And here's the brief recap. The first was the historic day of unity by the Republicans as they voted unanimously for Speaker Mike Johnson. The second was the fact that a former U.S. attorney told the House Judiciary Committee the FBI kept even the mere existence of the Hunter Biden laptop from his investigations. And the third was a bombshell revelation that came from a new letter authored by Senator Chuck Grassley's as it regarded the FBI having more than 40 informants on possible criminal activity involving the Biden family. And lucky for us, we are rejoined by one of the good ones who has risen through the ranks at the FBI. He is the former assistant director of intelligence and a friend of our show. We love having him on. Kevin, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Amanda. Thanks for having me. Hi, John.
Hey, hello.
Kevin, I want to press in on a very important article that you wrote last week regarding Hamas and their style of attacks and the possibility that it could happen here, because I think that we here in America, we suffer from normalcy bias and possibly recency bias, because even 9/11 was 22 years ago. And a lot of those factors that contribute to our confidence that it's not going to happen here, competency at the State Department, strength of the executive, pragmatic foreign policy, strength of military, a lot of those factors have been compromised. And one of the things that you honed in on in this article was a new tactic by Hamas, these paragliders. Now, we have already seen the Biden administration allow a Chinese spy balloon to fly practically clear across the United States. And I think about, you know, outdoor amphitheaters, Soldier Field, NFL stadiums, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade coming up next month. And that concerns me a lot, because we have a lot of open air things that happen here in the United States. And if they can do it there, and if Joe Biden allows the balloon to happen, it can happen here.
Amanda, exactly. And the concern that I had after listening to President Biden's speech last week was that we're focused on the Middle East, on the Ukraine. And we know now that there has been a intentional surge of military aged young males from countries that are either state sponsors of terrorism or up to 170 of them who are on the terror watch list that were confronted at our borders. Those are the ones that were caught. We don't know about who else might have been able to get into the country. When we have that kind of vulnerability, then the attack from Gaza on 10/7 becomes even more jarring. It was a kind of a new strategy where masses of young men came in well-armed and just started shooting up civilian populations. Could that happen here? Well, in light of the information that we have, the sudden surge of individuals coming from hostile nations, I think we have to be wary about that. And as I mentioned in the article, I would like to see the FBI and the CIA determine whether there's operational significance behind the surge. And then let's find these people and make sure that they're under investigation and can't cause these kinds of problems. Because as you point out, we have a number of soft targets in this country where like the attackers from Gaza, know that the population would be less armed and less able to defend itself. And that's a scary scenario.
Yeah, it really is. Director Ray, I think, signaled that he is concerned. He was with all of the leaders of the Five Eyes countries, gave a pretty compelling interview and statement. What's going on behind the scenes? Typically, what would the FBI be doing at this moment, knowing that there is this potential for an operational threat?
Yeah. So ideally, and the director commented on the threat of lone wolves, but this goes beyond that. This would be an organized attack by individuals who would have been placed in the country as an attack cell, who would come together en masse like they did in southern Israel. That's my concern. If the FBI logically would want to know, all right, who has been confronted at the border, and then get information as to where those individuals are now, and then launch a nationwide investigation through its 56 field offices to develop sources to determine who is here now that we may not be aware of from specific countries. The FBI knows how to do that. They should do that.
Yeah, important.
Kevin, if we can't identify these people within our borders, then Americans need to know how to protect themselves and what to do in instances where a threat exists. And I think about, you know, you no longer active within the FBI, and John Story, former USA Brady, as investigating the Bidens, you know, former, and I keep hearing this, and I just keep hoping that not all the good guys are former, that they are still active in their organizations. But with respect to the threats that we have here on the ground, if you were still in the FBI and you were putting out a memo to Americans saying, this is what to look out for, this is what to avoid, what advice would you give them?
Well, obviously, the issue of guns in the United States is a very controversial, very emotional issue. Just last night, the horrible shooting in Maine, you know, is galvanizing the country one more time. But the jarring thing about what happened in Israel was that Hamas knew that their victims were going to be unarmed. Inexplicably, the Israeli government policy restricts private gun ownership in that country, despite the fact that all of their adults have had military training and would know how to use weaponry. So I would never take a position that Americans shouldn't deserve the opportunity to be able to defend themselves, particularly from a terrorist attack like this, where you're out and minding your own business and conducting yourself without thinking that there's going to be a fearful attack. Americans have to be wary. Unfortunately, that's the situation we're in right now. And I would never counsel people to not arm themselves if they felt like they had to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kevin, I want to turn just quickly to the Biden investigation, because there's these pretty extraordinary revelations. At least they feel extraordinary to everyday people. But 40 informants, or more than 40 informants, providing information of possible criminality on Joe Biden. And then a claim that FBI whistleblowers don't think it was treated seriously or thoroughly investigated. And then the U.S. attorney, Mr. Brady, saying the exact same thing, which is, hey, I actually did some corroboration of some of the stuff. The FBI didn't seem to want to cooperate with me. I know you've had a chance to look at some of that. Your takeaways from those two explosive revelations?
Well, it's getting more and more difficult for Americans to believe that there's something wrong with the system right now. You take the totality of what you just talked about, 40 informants, which by the way, that's an amazing amount of informants working one issue in the FBI. That's, you hear about that when it's a nationwide investigation of some large criminal gang or something like that. So I'm wondering whether there might be a garble there, and that it's not 40 reports, but it's if it's 40 discrete confidential human sources, that's an indicator. That's an indicator that there's information out there that people want to provide about wrongdoing. When you have the number of whistleblowers come forward that we have that are worried that certain information is not being treated the way it should be, whether it's FBI agents or IRS agents, you look at the totality of that, and then you look at the totality of the reporting that we've had and what's been reported that's come off the Hunter Biden laptop. There is more than ample indication that there may have been criminal violations by members of the Biden family, to include the president himself, that deserves robust investigation. But that's not what we're hearing. And there's concern among people who've been involved in these investigations, people trying to do the right thing, people, you know, line investigators and line AUSAs trying to push this investigation along, but being met with resistance. Why is that? I hate to say it, but I'm wondering whether we can come to the conclusion right now that this Department of Justice is just not going to pursue the Bidens. It's not going to happen. And logically, you look at a DOJ that was willing to do a search warrant raid of a former president who is going to be the political adversary of President Biden in 2024. And you look at a DOJ that was willing to marshal to an early morning raid of journalists who were holding on to a $20 mm-hmm. diary of the president's daughter, then right. you can reasonably conclude that we've got a Department of Justice here that's about willing to do anything on behalf of the president.
Folks, one more good one to go. Jason Foster from the Empower Oversight Whistleblower Center, the man whose team helped us bring those IRS whistleblowers, those FBI whistleblowers. Hey, he found out last week, when he was a Senate investigator investigating the FBI and Justice Department for wrongdoing, the Justice Department was spying on his congressional oversight work. They actually got a subpoena to go get his personal phone and email records. That's a chilling experience. You're going to want to listen to that right after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, America. Our next guest has been a champion of whistleblowers like none other that I've met in my career. For 2.5 decades, as one of the most accomplished investigators in Congress, he worked with whistleblowers to expose enormous wrongdoing. And then he founded the Empower Oversight Whistleblower Center, which has brought to life so many allegations and so many serious problems, from the FBI to those famous IRS whistleblowers that we've had a lot to say about on the show. Jason Foster has been fighting there, but last week he found out something disturbing about himself. He found out that the Justice Department was spying on him while he was investigating the Justice Department as a congressional Senate investigator. He joins us now to bring us up to speed on that. Jason, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Like last Friday, you get a notification from your phone company. It's got to be pretty disturbing. Tell us what happened, what you found out, and what concerns you most.
Sure. So I woke up on Friday morning to a notice from Google, which I got about 1 o'clock in the morning, that on one of my Google Voice telephone numbers, that said that they had complied with compulsory process from the Justice Department, and attached was a copy of a grand jury subpoena dated September 12th, 2017, so 6 years and a month or so ago. And it sought all toll records, call logs, text logs, et cetera, for that particular phone number. That the particular phone number that I got the notice on was one that was actually used by my wife, forwarded to our home phone and my wife's cell phone. Not something anybody ever would have contacted a reporter on. Presumably this is related to, given the time frame of the date of the dates of the information they were asking for, it looks like it may be related to a leak investigation, that it might be related to the leak investigation of the Carter Page FISA, which of course I had access to as a Judiciary Committee staffer in March of 2017. They asked for all my records from December 2016 through May 1st of 2017. But they couldn't possibly have had a predicate or any actual reason to seek the phone records, you know, related to that particular number, because there's never any contact with any press on that number.
Unbelievable.
It leads me to ask, because, you know, this may seem like a lay perspective, but it kind of feels like all that we have learned about the DOJ and maneuvering, the political maneuverings, and even agencies like the FBI, it feels like if you are investigating a Democrat or you're poking around possible corruption of a Democrat, you need to use a burner phone and a dummy email.
Well, so one thing I don't know is whether or not that they actually got the contents of the Verizon cell phone that was issued to me from the Senate, on which I would normally do, you know, my business, right, that I would speak to the senator on, that he would call and text me on, et cetera, or that I would have authorized contacts with the press on. So we don't know whether or not they got that information, because I haven't gotten any kind of a notice from Verizon. And it's my understanding that they don't have any policy of sending out a notice like Google does. So the only reason that I know is because of the Google notice. But since receiving the notice, I have learned that, you know, the Inspector General has an investigation open on this matter, looking at the predicates and the sources and methods of gathering information on congressional staff in a number of leak investigations that the Justice Department conducted. And I should be clear that it's not just me. I mean, there's at least a dozen or more other staffers, both Republicans and Democrats. What it looks like occurred is that there was this extremely broad, you know, dragnet of searching for information on everyone in the executive branch, with the very, very thin justification that they wanted to see all the personal emails and communications logs for everyone who had had access to the particular information that leaked. Well, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of people in the executive branch who also had access to that information before Congress did. There's people at the FISA court, clerks and so forth, who all had access to that same information. So the question that it naturally raises is, well, did you do the same thing to all of those people, or did you just subject the people who were on your oversight committees to this extraordinary scrutiny?
Yeah, that is a very important question, one I know you're digging to get the answer to, because you filed a FOIA today to press the Justice Department to turn over all of that information. How important is that to starting to get some transparency? And by the way, do you think Congress will also dig in on this?
Yes. I mean, I've had as far as I know, I'm the only one to go public on this latest round of notifications. I know that Kash Patel, a former Nunes staffer, had gone public on a similar notification that he got last December. Right. But I know from my contacts with folks in the at the Senate Legal Counsel's office and at the Inspector General and just colleagues, former colleagues on the Hill, that there are several other people that got a similar notice, both when Cash got his and when I got mine. It's just that most people aren't, you know, coming out and being public about it. But there are lots of questions being asked behind the scenes, and that will continue and will probably be asked in public shortly by oversight authorities in the House. This is not a partisan issue. It shouldn't be a partisan issue. It's an institutional issue. It's Republicans in Congress. It's people on, you know, it's not just people on Senator Grassley's staff. It was people on Senator Feinstein's staff. It was people on Senator Schumer's staff. It was, it was extremely broad and without any sort of real predicate or reason that we are aware of. And I know there was no predicate for one of the particular phone numbers of mine that was targeted.
Yeah.
Jason, if I could, I just want to dig in on a couple of these dates, because there was this very contentious meeting in January of 2018 with Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein. And In that meeting, he threatened to subpoena records from House Select Committee, House Select Permanent Committee on Intelligence, threatened to submit or to subpoena records from them. But 4 months prior, I think it was September of 2017, we now know they were already spying. What's the reason to threaten that if he knew he was already getting that information?
Well, it's a very important and insightful question, right? Maybe it's because Mr. Rosenstein didn't know. And that's important because there are rules in the Justice Department that require advanced senior level approvals when you're gathering information on attorneys, people in the press, people in religious organizations, for constitutional reasons, right? And there ought to be those same enhanced procedures for when you're looking at congressional staff, senior congressional staff, or members of Congress or senators. So that those are some of the issues that the inspector general is going to be teasing out. But it's quite possible that this was, you know, you have to think about the time frame that this occurred, right? So this is the date of my subpoena was September 12th, 2017. Yeah, Comey had been fired in May. McCabe, his deputy, was leading the FBI there, not in a Senate confirmed position, you know, for all of that summer when they would have been preparing and gathering the information that was ultimately put in this subpoena to Google to get my records and the records of my Democrat and Republican colleagues. So, you know, you had, you know, sort of the permanent government doing what it was doing, I guess, technically on the date that the subpoena for my stuff was issued. Director Wray was confirmed, but I mean, he'd just been very, very recently confirmed. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be up on Capitol Hill next week. You know, I'm hoping he'll get some questions about that. I'm hoping that others on Capitol Hill, you know, will dig in. I called the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia, which is who issued the subpoena, and asked to speak to the assistant U.S. attorney who signed the subpoena. And, you know, I left several messages last week and this week, basically just asking, you know, hey, the Google notice says that there was a court order that said this had to be secret for 6 years. I'd like to see that court order. What's the basis for keeping it secret from me for 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I haven't received a response.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. A big thank you to Congressman Josh Brkeen, to Kevin Brock, the former FBI intelligence chief, and of course, our good friend Jason Foster, the head and founder of the Empower Oversight Whistleblower Center. Three great guests, three big issues to think about on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for spending some time with us on Just the News at John Solomon Reports. I pray that God bless you and God bless this incredible country, the United States, as he always has. We'll be back tomorrow with the Saturday edition of John Solomon Reports. Some good guests, including Senator Ron Johnson, on tap. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.